Let's go to the Word of God. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, if you'll go there with me. Genesis chapter 19. We're going to only look at a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 19. And if it's your custom to stand, please stand. If it's not, that's okay. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 and then verse 26. And here's how it reads. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law? Your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And then verse 26 tells us, "But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Our message this morning is mothers make mistakes, but God has mercy. If you'll pray with me, and then you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Loving Lord, thank you so much for your word. We want to learn from it today, and we want to live it. And so not by my might nor by my power, but by your Holy Spirit, use me to preach words of life, that when we leave this place, we will be better acquainted with you, have a passion for living with and for you, and Lord, that we will just bless each other is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I was driving with a few friends, and I was minding my own business. We were driving, and I looked in my rear view mirror, and there was a truck right on my bumper. I said, no worries. I sped up, and guess what the truck did? He sped up too. How do I know? Because it was snowing. And I was just like, if I have to slam on my brakes, he's going to hit me. And so I was fussing. I was not cussing. I was fussing you all about this truck being right up on me. And I kept looking in my rear view mirror, and I was not concentrating on what was ahead of me. And so by the time one of my passengers said, "Hold up," it was too late. I slammed on brakes, and in the snow, we circled round and round and round. And that is the tragedy of our passage of scripture today. It's about a mother who was so preoccupied with the past that she could not face the future. See, here's the backstory. It begins not with Lot and his wife, but it begins with Abram. God tells Abram, "Leave your father's house and your father's country and go to a land you don't know. But I'm going to be right there with you. And I am going to make you a great nation. And through you, all other people are going to know me." So God told Abram, "Go and live for me." But Abram didn't go by himself. He took his wife and he took his nephew Lot, his brother's son, Lot, because he thought Lot was going to be his heir. And so he takes Lot with him. And they travel across the land that God is promising. they get wealthy. They get so wealthy, they have abundant cattle. So wealthy that they can hire herdsmen to watch after their cattle. So wealthy that the land can't support both of their cattle. So wealthy that the herdsmen start to argue with one another over whose land it is. So wealthy that Abram says to Lot, look, we're family. And we don't need the people around us seeing us argue because it brings disrespect to God. He says, you decide. If you want to go to the right, you go to the right. Or if you want to go to the left, you go to the left. Whatever side you don't want to go to, that's where I'll go to. And Lot looks to the east and he sees the beautiful plains of Jordan, well-watered, fertile. And he's like, that's where I'm going. See, Lot's first mistake is he did not honor his elders. It was Abram's choice to get the best. And even though Abram said, you choose, Lot knew that Abram should have gotten to choose the best. But he chooses to go to the plains of Jordan, where there's a city called Sodom. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 13:12, it says, Abram dwelt in Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Mm-hmm. But then verse 13 gives us kind of a little scary note. It says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Mm-hmm. So Lot chose the best land in terms of the resources, but not the best land for raising a family. Now, fast forward several years in Lot's life and a few chapters in Genesis to our scripture in Genesis 19. Lot, his wife, and his family still live in Sodom, which hands down wins the award for Sin City. They are wealthy, they are comfortable, and they are hospitable. And when two strange men show up in their city, Lot immediately says, come on to my house. Now, he does not tell them get out like Jordan Peele's movie. He tells them to get in my house so that I can protect you. And he insists that they stay at his house. He offers them food. He offers them shelter. And before they go to sleep, before they even get to their beauty rest, it is interrupted by the men of the city knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And they say to Lot, bring out the men who came to you. We want to know them. Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds pretty innocent that they want to know them, but why did they wait until tonight to want to know these men? And we know the biblical connotation of this word to know actually means to be intimate or to have sex. And in this case, these men of Sodom wanted to rape these two strangers. Lot goes outside to negotiate, and he says, don't harm these men. That's why I took them into my house, so that you wouldn't harm them. He says, I have two virgin daughters. In other words, he means I have two unmarried daughters. They've never been with a man. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll bring them out. You can harm them any way that you want, but do not harm these two strangers. Now, Lot's solution to this scary situation is not God's solution. I want to make that clear. But this is the solution that he offered. But the men said, no, we don't want those women. We want these two men. And they tell Lot, you've come here, and now you think you're the judge of us. Well, we're going to harm you even more than what we were going to do to these men. And the angels, the men who are in the house are actually angels, and they pull Lot back in. And that's when they reveal their mission. And they ask a question that changes the trajectory of Lot's family's life. They strike the men outside with blindness so that they can't find the door to the house. And then they say to Lot, his wife and their family, do you have anyone else in this city that you care about? Do you have any son-in-laws or sons or daughters? Get them out of this city because God is going to destroy it. The outcry of the Lord against Sodom is so great that God is going going to destroy this city. And then we find out in Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50, we find out what was God's problem with Sodom. And here's what it says. Sodom and her daughters were proud because they had plenty to eat and lived in peace and quiet, but they did not take care of the poor and the needy. Number one, God's number one gripe, they didn't take care of the poor and the needy, even though they had a lot. And number two, they were proud and stubborn and did the things I hate, so I destroyed them, as you well know. The angels urge Lot to get his family out of Sodom, so he goes to speak with his sons-in-laws. And now, if you're reading Genesis 19:14, it says he goes to speak with his sons-in-laws. If you're reading the NIV or the CEV or the Good News or the Message, it says he goes to get his daughter's fiancés or the men who are engaged to his daughters. If you're reading the New King James or the King James or the Jewish Bible or the Common English Bible, it's going to tell you he went to get his sons-in-laws who were married to his daughter. And the Hebrew word is lakach. I always hate that. You got to add the H. My Hebrew teacher was like, you got to add the H at the end. But it can be translated fiance or son-in-law. And there's an important difference in what happens next, depending on which of those it is. And as one of my teachers used to say, I'm giving you the answer before I give you the test. So we can deduce whether it's the daughter's fiancés or if it's the husbands of other daughters by looking at the context of this scripture.
Yeah.
Genesis 19:8, we know that Lot has two virgin daughters because he offered them to the strangers. Genesis 19:12, the angels asked a pointed question. They said, do you have anyone else here? They are leading the witness. Do you have anybody else here? Genesis 19:14, Lot pleads with his sons-in-laws, and you ask the question, if they were actually his sons-in-laws, why did he go and talk to them instead of his daughters? The answer is, it's a patriarchal society. And even today, no man wants someone to come in their house telling them what to do, even if it's their daughter's daddy. All right, so Genesis 19:15, it tells us the next day, the angels say, take your wife and your daughters who are here. Meaning, Lot has some other children who were not there in that house. Okay, then Genesis 19:16, the family lingers the next morning. Even though they know destruction is coming, they linger. And you got to ask yourself, why are they lingering around? Why are they not getting out? And the answer, their other family members. Genesis 19:17, the angels say, escape for your life. Do not look back. And Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife looks back behind him, and she becomes a pillar of salt. Why on earth does Lot's wife look back? What is so important in the city of Sodom that she would risk looking back? What was it that tempted her to disobey a direct order? What was it that was so treasured that she looks back? I already gave you the answer. Her children.
That's right.
And possibly grandchildren. She left her children behind in a city that was being destroyed. Not only did she leave her children, but the angel asked any others, leaving that open to our connotation that perhaps there were some grandchildren back there too. And I know how grandmothers are about those grandchildren. And I can believe something like this went on in Lot's wife's head. She said, why didn't I go myself to get my children? Why did I send that man to get my children? She probably said, why didn't he just drag my children kicking and screaming out of that house? She goes, if I had gone to get my children, everybody would be safe, would be right now. You see, Lot's wife probably regretted leaving the lifestyles of the rich and famous. She probably was going to miss her girls, the housewives of Sodom. She probably had nice, fine furniture in the house, but nothing could compare to the pictures of the children that were there. She probably was attached to some organization that she volunteered with back there. But what was deep and troubled on her heart was that she left children back in Sodom.
Yes, right.
Let me ask you, mothers, how many of you would have looked back? That's a question we got to ask ourselves. Now, most of us would say, nah, I would have kept on trucking. But you and I know our children always are in our thoughts. They're always in our hearts. They're always in our prayers.
Yeah.
And the temptation, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but the temptation was to look back. Mm. Homework assignment, Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 14, entitled The Destruction of Sodom. Go home and read that. That's your homework assignment. Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 14, The Destruction of Sodom. It'll tell you a little bit more about the heart of Lot's wife. Now, you're asking yourself, how is Lot, a father, able to leave children behind? And how are Lot's daughters able to leave siblings behind without a backwards thought? Why does Lot's wife look back? Well, we know it's because she's got children, but it's a little bit more than that. It's because mothers make mistakes. And we internalize those mistakes, and we fixate on the mistakes of motherhood instead of focusing on the mercies of God. When our children have trouble, mothers tend to blame themselves.
Right.
It ain't your fault, but you tend to think, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What happened to them that they ended up this way? And it's always internal. I wish I could have done this differently. When your child ends up in jail, where did I go wrong? When your child gets pregnant, where did I go wrong? When your child drops out of school, where did I go wrong? When your child leaves the church, where did I go wrong? When your child shacks up with that man and doesn't get married, where did I go wrong? When your child commits suicide, what did I do wrong? When your child ends up raping someone or being raped, what did I do wrong? When your child is addicted to drugs and alcohol, where did I go wrong? When children make bad decisions, mothers somehow take it upon themselves and they begin to wonder, what did I do wrong?
That's right.
And I want to say to you mothers, yes, sometimes you make mistakes and it's a domino effect that reaches your children. But your children have choices. You make mistakes, but God has mercy. And every choice that your child makes is not about you making a mistake. It's about them making a choice. And that's something you have got to internalize, or you'll always be looking in the rear view mirror instead of focusing on what God has in front of you. Lot's wife, it seems like she gets punished unfairly because she does what any mother would do. She looks back because she's concerned. The city is burning. And she's got children in that city. And so she looks back. And mothers do just about anything for their children. I was reading some different stories about the great lengths that mothers have gone through to save their children. There's one woman, Angel, who ran back into a burning house to rescue all three of her children. Came out with burns, but her children were saved. A mother, Mindy, became a human speed bump and threw herself in front of a car that somebody had knocked the brake off, and the car was rolling downhill with her two daughters in the back seat. And so she threw herself in front of the car to slow that car down and save her children. A mother, Stephanie, was in Kentucky, and a tornado came through, and she put her body over the bodies of her babies, and she lost limbs, but not a scratch on her children. Another mother, Valley in California, won a tug of war with a shark to save her daughter when they were surfing. A mother in India, Rohima, used her bare hands to open the mouth of a crocodile and save her children. And you all can remember what your own mother has done for you, sometimes skipping meals, wearing old clothes and shoes so that you can have new stuff, making sure that you got what you need, and them going without. Mothers would do absolutely anything for their children. So my question is, why does Lot's wife get punished for doing what comes naturally to a mother? The answer is, our greatest joy can become our kryptonite. Now, I know there are lots of different cartoon characters now, you know, and those superheroes. They got a superhero for anything and everything. But I remember growing up, we just had one. We had the Super Friends. You all remember the Super Friends? All of them, the League of Justice. And in the League of Justice, Superman was the top dog. He could do everything better than anybody. He could fly faster, run faster. He could lift things. Superman was the top dog. But there was one thing that could bring Superman down. It was that kryptonite. Not only would it bring him to his knees, but it could actually kill Superman. The only thing was that kryptonite. And mothers, we have kryptonite called our children. Yeah, mothers turn into beasts watching their children. I looked at some of these soccer moms on TV. They had these soccer moms on TV. And these cookie-making, smiling mothers became beasts when their child got on their field. Or let somebody hit your child, and I don't care how Christian you are, you ready to strap up, pack up? Mothers become different animals when it comes to their children. But here's what the Word of God says, Matthew 10:37-39. It says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." God is saying to us, love your children. Put everything you can into your children, but they cannot come before me. Yeah. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And if our children become our gods, we will be destroyed, because there's only one. There's only one. we avoid making the same mistake that Lot's wife made?
Teach us.
How do we avoid making that mistake of putting our children above God? Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we have to understand is there is no such thing as parenting without regrets, because mothers and fathers make mistakes. We are sinful human beings, and our human nature means we make mistakes. But the good news is God has mercy. I love Lamentations chapter 3, 22. It says, "The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God tells us, "My mercy never runs out." And so, mothers, what we have to realize is the same mercy and grace available to us, it's available to our children as well. The same length that God has gone through to save us, He's gone through to save our children as well. You are not your children's salvation. There is mercy for your children.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think if Lot's wife had put that in perspective, God is giving me and my entire family a chance to get out. It's merciful and gracious. In fact, the angels take them by the hands and escort them out of the city of Sodom. She's so preoccupied that there's some kids who didn't come, and she's thinking back, what if I had recognized the signs of leukemia? What if I had read her diary? What if I had not allowed my child to date that girl? What if I hadn't allowed them to play football or sports? What if all the what ifs? They're not ours to own. God offers mercy.
Yes, He does.
And it doesn't matter what mistakes we make, what mistakes our children make, there is always mercy. I think of Manasseh, king of Judah. He's found in 2 Chronicles 33. The Bible says he was the most wicked king ever. He did worse than the people of Canaan, who God sent the Israelites to destroy. He was so horrible that he destroyed his own kids. He sacrificed his own kids. And yet, the Bible says he was in captivity. And as he was in captivity, he thought about God. And God changed his heart. And God restored this man who led all of Judah to sin back to the throne of Judah. Because he's a God of mercy. And we don't understand all the things that he does and why he does what he does, but we can understand that he is a God of mercy.
Yeah.
And so we can raise our children to love God, and they can choose not to. We can make sure we're positive examples to our children, and they can choose to go a different route. We can make sure that we are not stumbling blocks, and our children will blame us anyway. But when we remember that God never leaves or forsakes us, when we believe in the unfailing mercy of God, then we can let go of all the guilt that we have from mothering. You can dedicate your children to God. You can nurture them in Christ in your home. You can study the Bible with them. You can pray for them. You can encourage them to serve others. You can spend time doing fun things with your children. You can emphasize God-like character. You can seek professional help for your children. The way that we avoid being like Lot's wife is that we've got to ask ourselves, does this support the future I want for my child For those who are young mothers, you've got to start thinking, what do I want my child to grow up to be? Mm-hmm. Because it's not a dress rehearsal. You are nurturing that right now. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who've been mothers for a long time, you still love your kids, you still pray for your kids, but you have to allow your kids to make their own choices. Yeah. And that is the beauty of God's mercy. He doesn't force us to do anything, even accept him. He does not force anyone to do anything. And then there's Philippians 3:13. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to take hold of that which is ahead, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ for the prize. I press forward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And in other words, God isn't telling us to have selective amnesia. He's not saying just forget about anything in the past, because it's always there with us. But he's saying don't be preoccupied. Yeah. He's like, I've already forgiven you. Move forward. You love your kids. You did the best for your kids. Even if you made mistakes, your mistakes are not your kids' mistakes. Move forward. Uh-huh. I want to close with the story that I heard the preacher Max Lucado tell in one of his books. He tells a story about a woman, Susanna. She lived in Armenia. And she took her daughter, Guyane, to her sister-in-law's house. Her sister-in-law was making Susanna a dress. And they went to try on this dress, and there was an earthquake. Crumbled the apartment building that they were in, took Susanna, her daughter, and her sister-in-law all the way down in the apartment building. The debris has come over them, and Susanna is trapped by a beam, and she can't move. But she had the presence of mind to grab her daughter when the earthquake began. And so she's got her daughter right by her side. And she feels around, and she calls around, and she realizes that her sister-in-law is dead. She and her daughter are trapped there in the basement. They're there for a long time. And she hears her daughter, Guyana, say, Mama, I'm thirsty. She feels around in the debris. She gets a jar, and it's a jar of jelly. She doesn't have the strength to open the jar of jelly, so she cracks the jelly. She gives the jelly to her daughter. She rations it out. She doesn't take any for herself. She rations this jelly out for her daughter. One day is gone, and the jelly is gone too. And she hears her daughter's voice, Mommy, I'm thirsty. She feels around in the debris, but there's nothing else there. So she takes one of the shards of glass, and she cuts herself, and she gives her daughter her blood. A few hours later, Mommy, I'm thirsty, cuts herself again, and gives her daughter her blood. She's weak, and she falls asleep, and she only wakes up when she hears her daughter's voice, Mommy, I'm thirsty. And she cuts herself yet again, and she's praying, send someone to save us. What she recognizes is that she can give her daughter her very life, but she cannot save her daughter. Somebody else has. Mothers, you can give your children everything. that you have.
Come on.
You can even give them your blood and your life, but you cannot save them. Only one, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, can save our children. And so put your children in God's hands. We make mistakes, but hallelujah, God has mercy. See, on earth, there's not a lot stronger than a mother's love. But I'm so thankful we have the picture of Christ on Calvary's cross. And his death overshadows a mother's love. Christ's care for us eclipses a mother's love. Christ's love for us is greater than anything we mothers can give. So it's not in our hands to save our children. It's not in our hands to carry the burden of what our children did and did not do. What is in our hands is to say new mercies every day. Great is thy faithfulness. So mothers, I just want to encourage you today. You might be carrying the guilt of something that you did or did not do in the past. And it weighs on your heart. It affects your relationships with other people. The guilt is still there. I want to invite you to let it go. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you, just stay with me. You got some guilt from the past, some mistake from mothering, something that maybe not even has to do with mothering. You got something in the past. You want to leave it there today, and you want to say new mercies every morning. That's you, just stay with me today. New mercies every morning. Might be mothers here who have children. You say, Lord, I've been trying to save my children. I've been trying to live for my children. But today, I'm putting them in your hands because you are the only one who can save them. Not I. Not anybody else. Just you, Lord. That's you today. You're putting your kids in God's hands. Just raise your hand where you are. You're putting your kids in God's hands. My final appeal today: God's mercy is there for you to accept. The entire city of Sodom, with the exception of Lot and his two daughters, destroyed. But God's mercy was there. They simply did not accept what was already a gift for them. Today someone is saying, Lord, I want your mercy. I want your grace. I want to be saved. You've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you're saying today, I want to walk with you in a newness of life. I want to experience fresh mercies every day. I want to be baptized. I want to be a part of this God-fearing, loving, breath of fresh air church. That's you here today. You want baptism. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand where you are. Call for baptism. Saying yes to Jesus. Saying yes to his mercies. Loving Lord, thank you for mothers. Lord, thank you for the women who nurture us with their bodies, the women who love us unconditionally, the women who give their lives for us, the women who nothing is too much for them to do for us. Thank you for those who are physical mothers and those, Lord, who are adoptive mothers. Thank you for guardians, and thank you for grandmothers and auntie mommies, and thank you for godmothers. My prayer, Lord, for every mother under the sound of my voice is that they will experience you new every morning. Satan is going to remind them when they leave of all the things they've done in the past. But Lord, please let them be fixated on their future with you. All the hurt, the guilt, the shame of the past is just that. It is the past. And so we press, Lord, towards the mark, the high calling in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that though we make mistakes and though we own mistakes that are not our own, your mercies are new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.